In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who instruct the hearts of your faithful by light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe. St. Joseph. Paul and Terry. St. Ignatius. St. Maria Goretti. All God's angels and saints. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on the mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. Just so your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. Gospel of the Lord. For number 121, all of you have a either a diary of St. Faustine, or you have a copy. If not, you can ask Eric.
Do you want to raise their hands?
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read a number or two, and I'd like to glean one of the essential ideas that seemed to really touch me when I was meditating upon this number, these numbers this morning. There's a series of graces which God pours into the soul after these trials by fire. The soul enjoys intimate union with God. It has many visions, both corporeal and intellectual. It hears many supernatural words, sometimes distinct orders. But despite these graces, it is not self-sufficient. In fact, it is even less so as a result of God's graces. Whereas it is now open to many dangers, can easily fall prey to illusions. It ought to ask God for a spiritual director, but not only must it pray for one, it must also make every effort to find a leader who is an expert in these things. Just as a military leader must know the ways along which he will lead his followers into battle. A soul that is united with God must be prepared for great and hard-fought battles. It's very important. This is an excellent text. Not to scare people away, but if you really want to follow Christ, get ready for the battle. And it doesn't get any easier as time goes on. From experience, I'll tell you. It doesn't get easier. Not to discourage you, but recognize our life is a battle. And what I'm talking about today is going to be great help for all of us to engage in the battle and to win the battle. Because we're going to win. Amen? Okay, after these purifications and tears, God abides in the soul in a special way, but the soul does not always cooperate with these graces. Not that the soul is not willing to work, but encounters so many interior and exterior difficulties that it really takes a miracle to sustain the soul on these summits. And this is absolutely needs a director. People have often sown doubt in my soul, and I myself have sometimes become frightened at the thought that I was, after all, an ignorant person and did not have knowledge of many things, above all, spiritual things. When my doubts increased, I sought light from my confessor, my superiors. Yet I did not obtain what I desired. Okay, let's stop a minute now. And the topic I'd like to develop tonight is that of spiritual direction. Okay? Can you hear me? Okay, spiritual direction. This is probably one of the most blessed parishes in the country because within 2 years, we will most likely have 40 qualified spiritual directors in the parish of St. Peter Chanel. And they're lay people. I don't think any parish in the country has that. It's huge, no? Within about 2 years. We already have about 20. With another 2 years, we'll have another 40, most likely. Then I hope we'll get another 50. So this will be a center for Southern California for the exercises for spiritual direction. And this will be the very focal point for that purpose. So what I'm going to try to develop this topic. Okay, all of you should have a spiritual director. I've said this many times. Mr. Johnny One Note, okay? But I'm going to say it again. Because that's for me, that number, 121, that's what I interpret the essence of that number. Here you have one of the greatest modern saints that was floundering, trying to understand. She's got this interlocution, she's got these corporeal visions, she's got these intellectual visions, she's got these inspirations, no? How can I interpret these, no? And God is going to send her, we're at the beginning of the diary, believe it or not, no? But God is going to send her two very capable men who will be directing her. One is Father Andrasch, who's a Jesuit priest. The other would be Father Michael Sapochko. So she'll have these two who are going to be directing her in this very difficult path of discerning God's will. I have a provincial, I have a superior, I have a confessor, I have a spiritual director. And I'm in my mid-60s. No? Well, getting close to that, no? And I'm thankful. And I'm the only one here who has a degree in theology. And I know this, without that, I'm lost. I'm humble. I'm not lacking in intelligence, I'm not, nor in formation, no? But the devil is very crafty. Very crafty. And the more you advance in your spiritual life, the more astute and crafty it becomes. To the lay people, if you want to advance in the spiritual life, I'll repeat it again, you have to have a spiritual director. I've got to travel an hour to see my spiritual director. It's worth it. And Waverly, the house of prayer, well, we've got to make it effort, cutting through traffic, no? It's worth it. When I was in Chile, I had a Jesuit, actually a blind Jesuit, who was my spiritual director. No? I had to travel a good hour, cutting through Santiago to meet this man. So don't kid yourself to think that you're going to really advance in your spiritual life without adequate spiritual direction. Don't kid yourself. Okay? Don't kid yourself. Okay, so that's the topic. I'd like to develop this, and if I don't finish this week, I'll expound upon it next week because this is important. Okay, I'll give you biblical passages, and if you want to, if you want a list of books, I could pull out at least three or four books out of the top of my hat on what you can do to really read upon this topic. I'm really insistent we have to learn how to take advantage of good books. That's the Albright charism. So let me give you then biblical passages to give foundation to this topic. First is 1 Samuel 3:10. You might write this down. Try to memorize these verses, okay, if you've got a good memory. Okay? So I'll give you the verse and I'll give you a short summary of the verse. 1 Samuel 3, verse 10. Okay, here it is. You've got this young man, his name is Samuel, he's in the temple. And he hears a voice. He hears a voice calling him. So he's not able to understand it, so he goes to Eli, who's in the temple. He said, "You called me." He said, "Yeah, I didn't call you, go back to bed." So he goes back to bed, and once again he hears a voice. He gets up and goes to Eli again, who is the high priest of the temple. "You called me, here I am." "I didn't call you, go back to bed." So the third time he's called, he gets up, and he goes to Eli, and this time Eli recognized that God was speaking to him. So Eli says, "Next time you hear the voice, say, 'Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Classical passage for spiritual direction. Classic. Because he couldn't understand this voice that was speaking to him until this was brought to his spiritual director. And the spiritual director said, "When you hear the voice, it's God speaking to you. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening." That is among the most important passages to confirm the importance of spiritual direction. Second passage, Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. What you have here is this eunuch that has traveled from Ethiopia to Jerusalem on pilgrimage. He was searching for God. On the way back, going back to Ethiopia in a chariot, and God tells Philip to go up and run along the side of that chariot. So Philip runs along the side of the chariot, and he says, "What are you reading?" "I'm reading the prophet Isaiah." "Do you understand it?" "How can I understand it if nobody interprets it for me?" So he sits next to him and he interprets that biblical passage, applying it to Jesus and to the Ethiopian. You talk about baptism, they see a body of water as they're traveling toward Ethiopia, and the Ethiopian says, "What's to prevent me from being baptized?" So they descend from the chariot, he's baptized, and Philip is rapt away. And the Ethiopian goes back to communicate the Christian faith to the Ethiopians, starting with the king. That's why you've got some Catholicism in Ethiopia, because of that. That happened 2,000 years ago. That's I think is even more obvious than the one before that. Another occurred to me when I was meditating this morning is Luke chapter 24. And it's the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They're walking, they're confused. They're disoriented. They're in a cloud. And this man comes and starts to walk next to him. He is accompanying them. Spiritual direction books will speak about the importance of being accompanied. Accompaniment. So he's walking next to them. What does he do? He listens to them. Part of spiritual direction, an essential point, is learning to be an attentive listener. Are you listening?
Yes.
To be an attentive listener is one of the hallmarks of good spiritual direction. Learning how to listen attentively. So what did Jesus do? Obviously the pilgrim is Jesus. He listens to them. He listens attentively. He understands their words with his mind, but also with his heart. Then he opens up his mouth and he explains to them, helping them to understand who they are, where they're going, and how to get there. Okay, that's Luke chapter 24. So I've given you three biblical passages that give a foundation for the topic. There are more, but those, I think, are three among the best that occurred to me right now. Samuel would have never encountered the Lord, understood, without Eli. Ethiopian would have never become a Christian if it were not for the assistance of Philip. The apostle, the disciples would have ended up in gloom and doom if Jesus did not come walking next to them. Both gloom and doom. So those are biblical foundations. Okay, sources for you to read. I'll mention three or four. Okay, this one came out probably about 30 years ago, Father Thomas Dubay. I haven't read extensively all the works on spiritual direction, but this is one of my favorite on the topic. It's called Seeking Spiritual Direction, How to Grow the Divine Life Within, Thomas Dubay, Caris Publishers. For spiritual directors, I would say it's almost a must. But even for those directees, this is very good. Okay. Another one would be, you can write down Michael Barry, Jesuit. And he wrote a book on spiritual direction. Okay, next would be the book written by Tanqueray, Spiritual Life. This was the basic textbook for seminarians in Europe at the turn of last century. So all the future priests in Europe would have this as one of the basic texts for spiritual, ascetical, and mystical theology. I think I mentioned this book before. Those who I direct, many of those who I direct have read parts of it, if not all of it. The modern liberals say it's kind of archaic. I don't agree with that. It's very Thomistic, very Carmelite also. And what it does is it takes the spiritual life that is presented by John LaCrosse and Garrigou Lagrange and divides the three stages of the ascetical life, the purgative way, the illuminative way, and the unitive way, and explains on what you should expect in your prayer experience in those three stages. People like you should have it. His name is Tanqueray. And Tan Publisher has done a modern re-editing of it. That's key, though. If you're going through certain things in your prayer life, if you read that, it's really helpful. Now you read John of the Cross and Saint Teresa of Avila. Okay, then that even better. Okay? You read Garrigou Lagrange, the Three Ages of the Interior Life. That also is it's a Thomistic presentation of the three stages of the spiritual life, Garrigou Lagrange. Another one, my teacher in Rome, Jordan Allman, Spiritual Theology, is really good. Buy that too. That was my fourth year of theology, that was our basic text. Father Jordan Allman, he was my professor, passed away a few years ago. Spiritual Theology. So all of these are texts to help you in the whole topic, given that I'm an English major as well as I'm an oblate, it would almost be remiss if I didn't mention books, okay? This is in Spanish, mi vicio, okay? It's good. Maybe you can't read all the books, but I think you're educated people. You should now go to a book and read the chapter that pertains to you. Now look at the index, huh? Look at the chapters, no? I think all of us should know how to manage books. You should know how to manage books. Of course, the internet, how to Google what you're really searching for. So we're not living in a cloud of darkness. Okay, let's move on. Now, how do you get a spiritual director? I think all of you should pray for one. That's first and foremost, pray that you'll get a spiritual director. It's very serious, really. You know? Do you people think this topic is important or is insignificant? I think this is really important. This, the next three or four numbers in the diary is all related to the same topic. How this great saint is floundering in no man's land because she doesn't have anyone to direct her. And she's not lacking in holiness. And even though she's got, you know, 4 years of education, I think this woman is a genius. You read through some of these writings, I mean, it's high spirituality. Now, she had a good teacher, the Holy Spirit, right? Not bad. Good teacher. Okay, and you might even, okay, in your prayer, maybe you might even pray to St. Teresa of Avila. I've had a devotion to Teresa of Avila. I don't know you people, if you like her or not. I think that she's incredible. She's been one of my favorites for many years, no? Did you know that St. Teresa of Avila had 3 canonized saints directing her? Did you know that? Can I mention them? St. John the Cross, who was a Carmelite. St. Francis Borgia, who was a Jesuit. And St. Peter Alcantara, who was a Franciscan. But also she had someone who's not canonized yet, who was probably the greatest theologian in the 16th century. In Italian, it would be Gerolamo. In Spanish, it would be Jerónimo. In English, it would be Jerome. Gracián. None of you ever heard of him, but he was probably the greatest theologian back in that, when she lived. Even beyond these other, well, John of the Cross would probably be number one. And he was actually Dominican. So she had a Dominican, a Franciscan, a Jesuit, and a Carmelite directing. How about that? She hit the jackpot, huh? Not bad, huh? Well, I mean, it stands to reason she's gone on to be the greatest writer in the world on prayer. I don't think it's asking too much if she's going to be the greatest expert in the whole world on prayer, the doctor of prayer. She had to have some well-prepared directors to direct her. Everyone was against her in the reforms except Saint Peter Alcantara. People thought she was crazy. Loca. Completely chiflada. She's crazy. Crazy. But this one man, inspired by the Holy Spirit, full of steam ahead. God is with you. So if she didn't have that direction, you would not have had the reform of the Carmelite order. Throughout the whole world, usually, that's one of the most flourishing contemplative congregations in the world, would be the male and female Carmelites. No? Okay, now let's move on. What are the qualities of a good spiritual director? Would you like to know them? Okay, I'm going to give you the qualities that Teresa of Avila gives. She gives basically 3. And I'd like to add a 4th, if you give me permission. Do you?
Yes.
Thank you. First, is holiness. And that is very much related to a deep prayer life. Spiritual director that does not have a deep prayer life scares the living daylights out of me. I can't imagine anyone who presumes to be a spiritual director that is not going to be giving quality time every day to prayer. For us, obviously, you know, you got to be faithful to your holy hour every day. Can do two, so much the better. Say that because we're going to be getting to what are the topics you can bring up in spiritual direction, but I'm already alluding to it. One of the basic topics, obviously, is prayer. When I go to my spiritual director, right away, I say, Father, I want to talk about my prayer life. Yeah, that's why we're here. But I talk about what's going on in my own prayer life. Everyone comes to me, talk about their problems, their prayer, but now it's my turn. My turn. So holiness, and holiness is related to prayer. You know that by now. If you people don't take your prayer life seriously, you're going to be mediocre on a good day. Early in the morning, I was giving a talk to the young people making the consecration to Mary. And I have another group on Wednesday, which I'm going through, the Joy of the Gospel, with a group of 50 Hispanics. Most are catechists, really good people. And I asked a question, which came from St. Francis, when was the first time that you really had an experience with Christ? And some of these Spanish catechists, very good people, some of them I've known for 24, 25 years. And one of them said, well, I think she said she was in her late 60s. Some of you are not even 60 yet. Or maybe not in your late 60s. Okay? She said it only came about through the exercise that I really had an encounter with Christ. When did you have a personal encounter with Christ? The Protestants always say this, right? I'll tell you, I think I was 6 or 7, and my mom was inspired to say, come on, let's. I want you to sit next to me, I want to read the life of St. Francis of Assisi. And I was just enamored with baseball, and I thought, what this is for? Posture, sissy, you know. Mujercita is in Spanish, no? I thought it was just it's for girls, no? I don't know. They're hitting baseballs, no? No, sit down. So she started reading me the life of St. Francis, and it was like an explosion of grace was ignited my soul. And went on every day for 5 days. Now this humble little guy that gave up his wealth to follow Lady Poverty, and then he's wearing these rags, walking through the streets of Assisi. And then he's hugging a leper. Ah! And he got these wounds, what do they call it? Stigmata? I remember as a little kid, I was absorbing it like a sponge. And every night, for about 4 or 5 days, I went up to my room and I had this conversation with God. I was probably, It had to be 6 or 7 because by 8 I could already read pretty well by myself. No? And then after those 5 days, I'm going to become another Francis. I'm going to become a priest one day. So from that time on, you know, I always like to pray. And I've been a priest for 32 years. I don't think I've ever met a child that's 8 years old that has told me he likes to pray. And 32, that's a long time, isn't it? So I'm thankful for a good mother. I'm thankful for St. Francis of Assisi. I am thankful that I was open in those young years of my life. And I told the young people today, look, I'm a teacher. I can teach you how to pray. I've been doing it for decades upon decades, no? I can teach you how to pray. I'm one of those non-stop speakers. I mean, you can go on and on, you know me by now, right? But I cannot give you the desire to pray. You hear me? I can teach you. You want to talk on Lectio Divina or contemplative prayer, Theresian prayer, Ignatius, Marian prayer, biblical prayer, the prayer of Jesus, the prayer of Mary. You go on and on and on and on. But giving you the desire to pray, you got to beg the Lord. And I received that mystical grace when I was 7 years old. What a grace! I didn't know what mysticism was when I was 6 years old. I didn't know what it meant. But that was called a mystical touch. And I received it. When I was 14, I would walk to high school 2 miles, and I prayed 3 rosaries walking to high school. How many teenagers do you know? Somebody have teenagers. Would pray 3 or 4. Then I'd walk back, maybe pray another 2, so I'd pray maybe 5 rosaries only, 14 or 15. And it almost seemed to be as natural as breathing air. Well, I'm walking by myself. Well, I might as well talk to Mary. And now I look back in retrospect, what a huge grace that was. This is before, you know, the telephone and the Walkman. This is back when, 1973, no? These things didn't even exist. I really pray that you people really want to pray. I'll pray for you. I can give you talks until the end of time. You've got to beg for a real desire to pray and to go deeper. Don't stay where you're at. You really go deep in prayer, God is going to use you to save hundreds, if not thousands, of souls. Depends on you. Start right now. If up to this point we're kind of floundering in no man's land, let's beg tonight. Beg tonight through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Tomorrow's the first Saturday, right? Mary will give us that grace. You probably don't have a parish better in Southern California than St. Peter's. We give you all the tools. We give you all the tools. Tons of priests, confession, the sacraments, courses, talks. What more do you want? It's up to us to correspond to the many, many deluge of graces that God is raining down upon us. So in the spiritual direction, that's one of the topics. So a spiritual director should, not saying that he has to be a canonized saint like John of the Cross or Peter Alcantara, or Francis Borgia, but he should be striving for it. And right in this room, we have a spiritual director too, and those who are in process of formation in this area. Okay, the second quality is this. And Teresa of Avila, it's almost interesting that she'd say that the second quality is even more important. I wouldn't agree with her on this. I mean, rarely do I disagree with a doctor of the church, no? But she says that, you know the second quality of grace? Knowledge. Yep. Knowledge. Yep. Knowledge. Spiritual director should know, know his Bible, know his dogmatic theology, know his moral theology, know his sacramental theology, know his ecclesiology. And know his mystical theology. Know the basics of psychology. Hopefully I'm not scaring away some of the spiritual directors here. But, well, you know, we should be aiming at learning these disciplines with greater depth, okay? As well as myself. And I'll just give you an example from the life of Teresa of Avila. Okay? She was talking this is a spiritual director, I think, before she met these big guns, no? That I mentioned already a couple of times, no? I call them the big guns, huh? John the Cross, Alcantara, Francis Borgia, no? So she's talking about her prayer life. And this priest said, what you ought to do is you ought to dedicate yourself to vocal prayer, and you got to meditate, and you have to use discursive reasoning. You have to go from point one, point two, point three. Then you make a conclusion. Then after that, you have a colloquy, and that's the way you pray. So this is called the ascetical life. She had arrived at the mystical life. Now, when you go from the ascetical life to the mystical life, you have what is called the dormition of the intellect. Dormition means the sleeping of the intellect, where your intellect plays a much less prominent role, and your heart plays a more prominent role. And the prayer becomes more simple. Instead of a lot of kind of scattered ideas. You know, when I give the 10-week course, I give tons of ideas for these beginners. Grab onto whatever you want. But as you advance, you don't have to have so much material and so many ideas. And a classical example is you're making your holy hour. You have your biblical text, and there you are before the Blessed Sacrament. And you're there, and you really don't want to think that much. You just want to rest in the Lord's presence. You want to let God love you, and you love Him back. And you spend the whole hour doing that. This is a mystical. You're not saying that much. You're not reasoning that much, but you're just resting in the love of God. Now, unless you have spiritual direction, you're not going to understand You're led into a deep, oh no, I got to go back. I got to read the text 3 times. I've got to do, you know, the, I remember St. Ignatius, yeah, the 3 powers of the soul, memory, intellect, will. I got to go through those stages. Huh? And I forget Father Broom, colloquy, okay. Triple colloquy too, you know. Fine, okay, that's a method. Methods are helpful. But God is saying, leave aside the method now. Let me love you and you love me back. Or maybe just want to thank the Lord. Just in a fusion, an overflowing of gratitude. I think that's the easiest prayer in the world. Personally, I think that's the easiest prayer in the world. I know I have received so many graces. You have too. I'm aware of it. And being aware of that, what flows naturally from an awareness of having received so many gifts? Thanksgiving. So she says that a good director should have a good formation, a good intellectual formation. So that's the second quality. In one of her writings, she says that that's the most important. I think holiness is number one, and then learning is number two. So, Teresa of Avila, forgive me if I contradict you up there. I say that, I'll defend myself, because if you're holy, the Holy Spirit is going to give you light, and you're going to say, look, you got to study a little bit more. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. I mean, he enlightens us and he challenges us. He purifies us. Okay, the third quality. Ready? Anyone make a stab at it? I don't think any of you would ever surmise what this is. No, she actually uses the word prudence. However, for her, prudence is not what you think. I mean, be careful, prudence. No, for her, prudence means experience. I'll give you an example. After quite a few years, my father, who, by the way, pray for him, today's my father's birthday, he would be 90 years old today, so you maybe say a prayer for him. He was born on the Feast of Maria Goretti, 1928, so it's his birthday. He was raised to be a financial analyst on Wall Street. You know why? Because he had many, many years of experience in business. So having had so many years of experience, he was consulted by many people throughout the country on economic matters. So he didn't start do that when he was 25 years old. 30 years later, yes. I use that as an analogy because you might have a really holy spiritual director that's just ordained 2 years, but he hasn't seen a lot of experience yet. My spiritual director is that he's been ordained for more than 40 years. I kind of like that. No? So having years of experience, I say that there are 3 books that we have to read. first book, most important, is this. We have to read this. This is our pan de cada día. This is our daily bread. The Bible, okay? It's not the watchtower, okay? Jehovah's Witnesses, no? Then, there's another book. It's the book of nature. God speaks to us through nature. Right, Grace? He speaks to us through nature. But also, there's another book. It's the book of our own personal experiences. Have any of you ever heard of the Daily Examen? Hello?
Yes.
What are you rewinding every night? You're rewinding the experience that you had during the course of the day, and you're walking through those with the Lord. Yeah. Very difficult for most. But if that's well done, you see the way in which the Lord has walked with you during the course of the day and when you wandered away. And he's tried to reel you in. When you're wandering away, he's reeling you in. Okay. So those are the three qualities according to the Doctor of Prayer, Teresa of Avila. The director should be aiming at growing in holiness, should have a good theological formation, and also should have prudence, which means experience. Experience is very important. I'm reading your minds. Some of you are thinking, Father, you're about to mention the fourth, and I will tell you the fourth, okay? This is strongly recommended by William Barry, who's a Jesuit who wrote a book on spiritual direction. I think most of those who are preparing to be spiritual directors, eventually, Raquel and Gerardo, Eric has probably read some of the writings of William Barry. And he mentions really the importance of being an attentive listener. Are you listening?
Yes.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So being an attentive listener. Very important. Being an attentive listener. If any of you have ever done, any of you have a spiritual director, I'll speak from my own experience. Often I'll go to my spiritual director and I'm kind of, I feel kind of like a ball of confusion. It's kind of like a ball of confusion. So many things that have happened in the past month. A lot. So I go and I open up and I talk it out 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 and I talk it out. And every talking for maybe 15 or 20 minutes. It's almost as if that cloud of confusion has dissipated. He hasn't really said anything, but he's just listening very attentively. And that cloud of confusion, it's like the sun comes out at dawn, and then the mist dissipates and disappears. There's even healing in that. Very important, Viktor Frankl, logotherapy. Is that it, Jenny? Logo means word, therapy means healing. Healing through the communication of the word. And even though this is not formal spiritual direction, there I am in my room, and someone comes in with a huge problem, comes in, slams the door, sits down in front of me, and starts to just unload. And unload. Pound the desk. Cry. Get angry. Unload. Grab one of my Kleenexes. And grab another. Yeah, another, I end up with that. No more Kleenexes left, sorry. Use a 10th one you've already used. Use that one, okay? Pound the fist again. Cry. You're there for a whole 25 minutes, half an hour. Ah, thank you, Father, you resolved my problem. Never opened my mouth. Nor did I have the intention of opening up my mouth. But I knew that this person was in a state where this individual simply had to open up and let it all out. Vent. So, there we have it. I have more to say in this topic, but I think we'll stop there. And we'll beg for the grace for spiritual directors. Beg for the grace for spiritual direction. Beg for the grace that we'll have spiritual direction. And beg for the grace that all those who are pursuing perfection will take this very important discipline seriously. Because it's important. Amen? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us in the name of the Lord. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Teresa of Avila, Saint John of the Cross. St. Peter Alcantara, St. Francis Borgia, St. Maria Goretti, all God's angels and saints. And the Father, have a good night.